Oh, wow. I'm already excited. That's good. You haven't even started yet, or probably you started earlier than today. It's so good to be with you. And I was just told about what you guys did this morning, packed boxes. So I think this would be good to just hear a seed maybe that has grown. And the boxes that you've packed today, the more seeds and the more stories. But I'm just honored to be one child out of 157 million children that received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift since 1993. So today you're going to hear just one story. But my story starts back in the Middle East. I was born in a hard-to-reach country in the Middle East. So because it's a hard-to-reach country, I will not be able to mention the name of that country. But it's in the Middle East, I promise you. And I lived in three different Middle Eastern countries in my journey in the Middle East. So the country that I was born in, about 98% of the population were not Christians. So often Christians face a lot of persecution for their faith, and a lot of them were even killed for their faith because it's very difficult to be a Christian there and share your faith. But my parents, after they got married and I was born, and my brother was born, they did not have a relationship with Jesus at that time. So they decided to take me and my brother and move to another country in the Middle East, also a hard-to-reach country, to find a better future for our family. Because my country was not doing the best at that time. So they took me and my brother and we moved to that country and we started our new life there. Now, what was a surprise for my parents is they moved there to find a better future, but the opposite totally happened. We ended up being in severe poverty, the kind of poverty that we had no food to eat. I mean, sometimes our food used to be just raw onion and bread because that's all we could afford. The room that we lived in was empty. We didn't even have money to buy couches or beds. We did everything on the floor because we didn't have money to buy that. And as a result of that, as a child, I did not receive gifts on Christmas, or even my own birthday was not celebrated. Because when you are not in that situation where you're focusing on how to get your daily needs, receiving gifts would not be a priority for you. It wouldn't be something that you would think about. Automatically, what you're thinking about is just how you can provide for your family. So I did not receive gifts on Christmas or my birthday. I was not able to have things of my own. Most of the things are passed down to other people. And I really didn't experience that joy of having my own new personal items. Now, although we were in poverty and in that part of the world, although things did not go according to our plan, I do believe that it actually went according to God's plan. Because sometimes God does bring us to that low point in our life in order for us to meet Him or know that He's really all that we need. And that's when my parents visited a church. And that church, there was a pastor who shared with them about Jesus. And as they heard that they can have a relationship with their Creator, someone who loves them, they wanted to give their lives to Christ and their family to Christ as well. So after my parents gave their lives to Christ, the poverty didn't really change for us. But what changed was the way we looked at poverty. Because now we started to learn about that God, not only we can have a relationship with Him, but He is our Heavenly Father. He is the Father that would provide for us. He's the one that will take care of us. So our family decided that if we are going to have any kind of need, we are going to bring it to God in prayer. Because we didn't have any other way of getting what we needed. We could not depend on anyone else in that part of the world. And we only had God in our prayers. So that's what we did as a family. With every need that came, we brought it to God in prayer. And my parents made sure to teach me and my brother that in a young age because they want us to know that even if mommy and daddy cannot provide for you, always know that God knows your need. And if you ask Him and if He sees it's good for you, He'll provide for you. So that's what I did as a child, brought every need I had to God in prayer. Now, with my parents, they didn't only teach me how to pray, but I actually saw them live it in front of me. Many times I saw my dad coming back from work and just kneel and cry, asking the Lord to provide for us because literally we have no food to eat. And as I watched him do that, when he finished praying, the next thing I would know was somebody would knock on the door and give us a bag of food. And so as a child, I saw the result of prayer. I saw that when my parents were teaching me, it became tangible. Like God does provide, does answer prayer. So that's why I brought every need I had to God in prayer. Now some of those needs were hygiene items, school supplies, and of course, toys, because my parents could not provide that for me. So as I brought that to God in prayer every night, I didn't know how or when, I just knew I prayed anyway. Now, one year we had another need that we could not afford, and we needed something to help us hear the news and also listen to a Christian radio station. And the Middle East is very important, for, specifically for men to hear the news because of the circumstances are in the Middle East. And especially at that time, we were not living in our country. So there was no way for us to hear what's going on. And I had a strong desire and love for music and worship, and also had no way of hearing that. So our family were in a big need of something to help us hear those things. Now, at that time, the radio was very popular, and we could not afford it. So our family thought, well, we bring every need to, we have to God in prayer. This is another need, right? So we also brought it to God in prayer, and we waited. We had no idea how or what's going to happen. Then one day we went to church gathering, and they said today is a very special day for kids because they will be receiving something special. So when I heard that I was going through something special, of course, I could not wait. I mean, I was around 5 years old, and when I heard that, all the thoughts came to my mind, not knowing what's going to happen. But all I know is they took me to that big sanctuary, and I stood at the back there to the Sunday school class, and I looked on the stage, and there were huge brown boxes piled on top of each other, and on the side of the boxes, there was this logo. There was a shoebox with wings coming out of it. I did not understand why the shoebox was flying, but all I know is there's something in there that's mysterious that we're going to receive. So I was so excited, and as they called name after name for kids, of course, after they shared the gospel, after we sang worship songs, they started calling name of the kids. And after each name, my heart is beating faster and faster and faster, and then they finally called my name. When I heard my name, I mean, I lost it. I don't know what happened. Like, it was that moment that I had all the feels. I didn't really know what I felt, but I know it felt good. So I walked forward, and a man pulled a shoebox from that brown box, and he gave it to me. When I first took it, of course, as a child, you would take it. I just held it so tight, didn't want anyone to touch it. And it became part of me from that moment, not even knowing what's inside it. So, of course, now I really want to open it and see what's inside it because I'm so excited. I can't wait. Now, when they say in the box, they usually put a really big tape around it, right? How many of you have been to a processing center before? How many of you have taped before? All right. Well, thank you so much. You could not open it. I'm kidding. You did a good job in that. But as I tried to pull and pull, I could not really open it. And I thought maybe if I start with a lid, that way I can at least get it into inside my box. So as I was doing that, my mom saw me. And she said, no, Danielle, you cannot open it here. You have to wait until you go home to open the shoebox. Now, we didn't live next door. We didn't have a car to drive us home. We had to walk at least 30 minutes to go home. So you can imagine me holding the box. And my brother also received one. And walking, looking at him. He's looking at me. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe there's a way around it. My mom didn't say, don't feel the shoebox. She just said, don't open it. So I put my hands underneath the lid, trying to feel what's inside it. Technically, I'm not disobeying her, right? I'm just feeling it. So we finally made it home, and we sat as a family on our empty floor. If you can imagine that room, it had no color, no decoration, was empty. But the only colorful things we had that room were the shoeboxes that we received. I mean, when they were just added color to the whole room. And now is the time for us to open the shoebox, the shoeboxes. So I opened the lid of my box and looked inside. What shocked me when I opened the box was how new everything was. It was new. It was clean. I have not seen something as new and as fresh as that before. So that by itself hitting me all of a sudden because I thought I wasn't even afraid to touch it because of how new it looked. So I was carefully putting item after item and, of course, excited over every single thing I got. And now everything in the box was so special. I mean, even the tape that I couldn't open really was so special to me. But I'll show you a few things that stood out to me the most. So one thing that I loved was a toy inside that box that was a Beanie Baby. And I remember it was filled with these beads, and I was trying to figure out, what is it? And I squished it, and I smelled it, and it smelled so good. And I used to put it beside me when I went to bed, and also used to play teacher with her, and she really was a very good student. I really loved her. Another toy I received that also was a highlight, I didn't really know how to play with at first, but that was the point. That's why it became so interesting to me. It was a slinky. I actually used to wear it as a bracelet because I thought maybe that's how you play with it. And I accidentally put it on top of the stairs and watched it come down. And I thought, maybe that's how you play with it. And then school supplies. What I loved the school supplies were the decorated pencils that I received. It was my first time seeing decorated pencils. And I thought, how long did it take them to actually paint all of that in that pencil because of how beautiful it looked. And of course, hygiene items. I love the soap that smelled really, really good. I mean, it made the whole box smell good. My mom didn't even want us to take a shower with it because it smelled good. And she said, well, since it smelled good, we can probably use it for many things instead of just showering with it. So she used to put among our clothes so they can smell nice. And then we took a shower after a while for that soap, and we were so excited. So many other things, and that, I don't have time to name all of them, but everything that I pulled was so special. It felt as though it came from that special place. I don't know where, I don't know who. All I knew is it's very, very special, like a treasure. So I loved it, but it hit me all of a sudden that honestly, this is what I was praying for. God provided the hygiene items, school supplies, and even the food when my parents could not provide that for me. I was so excited. That was the highlight of my day. And when I thought that this is it, when our family thought, yeah, we got all of these things, our kids are happy, well, there was another surprise for us. There was another small box inside the shoebox. And as we took this box out and we opened it, we could not believe our eyes. Because there was an item there that shook our entire family. This is what we found.
Wow.
It was a mini, fully functional radio. This is exactly how it looked like the exact replica of that radio. But I mean, our family just were thinking, what are the odds that out of millions of boxes, that this box would come specifically to our family, you know, what we needed and prayed for? It was a shock for our family, but one thing we knew is that God definitely, He honored our prayers and He saw our needs, and He chose to provide and answer prayers using a shoebox gift. And it became really a highlight now for the whole family. And I realized that, you know, just like my dad was praying and we got that bag of food, just like we were praying for many things and God specifically answered, this was no different. And since then, I just decided to bring every need I had to God in prayer till this day, because if God did it one time, He's going to do it again, because that's the kind of God He is. We loved everything that we received, and we kept it for so long. And every time we looked at the radio, we called it God's gift for us. And that shoebox experience, we always talked about it. It was the highlight of our time there. And it was that mysterious box that we didn't really know where it came from. So after about 6 years of living in that country, my parents felt called to go back to our own country and share the gospel with our own people there. Now, as I mentioned, since about 98% of the population were not Christians, that was not an easy decision to do. So we went there and we started sharing the gospel in the village where no one has been sharing the gospel there. There was no church that does worship. We went there and we first went and we started sharing the gospel. A few of the people, when they heard, they responded like my parents responded. They wanted to give their lives to Christ. And we started doing home meetings at our small home. We're not allowed to have a church building. So we didn't have a pastor. So as we were doing that, the whole village heard about it. And that's when the heavy persecution started in our family. To give you a few examples, my dad had a shop to fix and sell watches there. And he went one morning and he found out there was burnt oil poured all over the front door. And there was a piece of paper posted at that door. And that piece of paper was actually a threatening letter. And that letter said, if you don't stop telling people about Jesus, if you don't leave the village, then we will burn your store and we will kill you and your family. Mm-hmm. And we received multiple death threats like that in the course of 9 years. We kept receiving multiple death threats, different ways of persecution that urged us to leave the village as soon as we can. But one thing we knew is God called us to be here, and there are people yet to hear the gospel. So God gave my parents the boldness they needed to stand in the midst of the persecution and tell people that we're staying here until God called us to leave. Finally, we had a police officer that came to our house with a gun wanting to shoot my dad. And as my dad, again, the boldness of the Holy Spirit gives, he stood up and he told him, well, let me just tell you quickly why I do what I'm doing and then you decide. And we thought my dad was crazy because we were in the living room with him. And he just opened the Bible and told him why he's sharing the gospel, what is it that he's really teaching. And as he explained that to him, it took a few hours. That police officer, after coming with a fully loaded gun with an angry heart, he left with the Bible and he became a follower of Christ. So although a lot of our friends that we knew personally were actually murdered for their faith, God just chose to protect our family. And in the midst of those times, the child, being the only believer in my entire school, was very difficult to face every day thinking that I'm the only one, I'm the odd, especially after the rejection I used to receive from the teacher and the students. But God always has had his ways of always reminding me that I'm special in his eyes, even if I'm rejected. But one thing that he used to show me that were actually the shoebox items that we brought with us from that country. I used to open the bag and pull everything out, and just by looking at them, the same feelings used to come back to me. And I used to think, you know what? I know that God thinks that I'm special. Not only he sent me a tangible, beautiful gift, but he also sent me the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, who died in my place. And if that's why I'm rejected, I believe that I have something they don't have, and he is worth it. So I decided to give my life to Christ, knowing that, you know, he is the God who, just as he was with me in the beginning, will still guide us through it all. So we kept sharing the gospel. But after about 9 years of living in that country, our country also was in war. And so with the war, with the persecution, with scarcity of water and food, it was so difficult to live in that country. And we prayed and asked the Lord if this is his will for, if this is the time or his will for us to leave the country. After praying, we asked God for three things to happen in order for us to leave. And all three of them happened exactly the way we prayed for them. And we knew that this is God's plan for us. So we left the country to another country in the Middle East to apply as refugees. Now, after we left, shortly after we left the village, the whole village was destroyed and taken by terrorist groups. And they called it a ghost town. So that was a fourth confirmation from the Lord saying that, yes, indeed, I want you to leave, because God just had a plan for us. And we left and we applied. After about 14 months, we heard that we got accepted to come to the United States. And in 2010, in October of 2010, about 8 years ago, we landed here in the States, and we started our new life here. Now, one thing that our family was really excited about was to come in this country to finally find a church and, like, worship freely, be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we had no problem doing that here in the States, because literally of that many churches we have. I mean, when we were in the car, my sister was like, wow, there are two churches next to each other. I'm like, I know. There's so many churches. But my sister's actually were born in the other country that we moved to, so that's why she's here, because I have two more sisters. But all six of us, we came here and we started a new life. Now, I found a church, and a lady asked me if I wanted to go and process shoebox gift to children after arriving 1 month in the States. Keeping in mind, I have no idea about this whole country. I just had the ideas of what I heard about this country. Having no idea where shoeboxes came from, we always called it that special place that we might not never forget. We might never get to it. We always talked about it. All I know is about 2 weeks of being in the States, they took us to show us a dollar store. And I walked in the dollar store, and my brother told me, hey, this looks like the items we got in the shoebox. I'm like, yeah. And then this one looks like, and they were going to hunt the things. It was like a big shoebox. It's like, there. And then we smelled something, and we thought, do you smell that? I'm like, I know. It smells like the shoebox smell. It's like, yeah. And we were beside the soap aisle. So we were those hints that we had that reminded us that we had no idea where they come from. And then that lady asked me to go to the processing center, and I went with her, not knowing what it is. As I opened the door, walked inside, I saw, I mean, the Charlotte Processing Center is really, really big. So I think there were at least 2,000 people there, and there were so many lines, gifts and toys and countless Christmas trees, people wearing Santa hats. I mean, talk about a cultural shock, right? I went inside, I'm like, what is this place? And I tried to figure out what it is, and I thought, well, there's no other explanation, but this is the Santa factory that told me about in America. Because there's Christmas trees, people wearing Santa hats, maybe they're his elves, I mean, I have no idea. So I'm trying to convince myself with that, when I saw a banner hanging from the top, and this banner had this shoebox with the wings coming out of it. And I thought, wait a minute, this is the same one that was in the side of the box in the stage. No way, could this really be that place where my shoebox came from? I had no idea I could find it one day. This is crazy. And so I was trying to figure out why and how and all the details of what people did. I'm like, I finally found this place. And then with my limited English, I tried to motion to them what that felt like. And then they learned that I received the shoebox, and all of a sudden, I became the big deal. And I'm thinking, this is not how it works, right? I'm thankful for you, because you did that for me. But they put me in the line to process boxes, and I think they made a big mistake, because I took longer than everybody else processing those boxes. And I just used to open one, and I thought, oh, I remember those things. I know how to make it neat and perfect. I used to flip everything out, and they wanted me to get out of the line. Like, please get quickly, quickly. I'm like, no, you slow down. Like, that's not how it works. But eventually, I got to more than one shoebox that day. And I went home, and I told my parents about it, and my family, and of course, everybody was excited. But I think that was a moment for me where God was just showing me something when I first stepped in the state. You know, when I first came here, I was wondering, what's the purpose that God allowed my past to be that way? What is the purpose that He allowed me to be in poverty and persecution and war, moving from country to country, facing all of that? And now I'm here. I could not understand why God allowed that. But seeing that first step as though God was saying, well, there is maybe something in there for you. Maybe that's not all that you saw in your past. And God over the years was showing me that the things that happened in my past were truly a story that He chose to write in my life to show me His faithfulness. He wanted me to go through poverty to experience His provision. No, He wanted me to go through persecution to show me that if everybody is against me, He is for me. And he wanted me to leave my country because He had a plan for me. He didn't want me to be one of those that were killed when they were took over the village, because He had a plan for me. And I said, Lord, show me what it is. So He opened the door for me to actually get connected again with Operation Christmas Child, but this time to actually share my story and go simply tell people about His faithfulness and their faithfulness. How what they do is planting a seed in another child's life. How when I received that shoebox, someone played a part in my story, but everything that you did today is playing a part in another child's story. And when I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to go and share my story, like I'm excited about this, I want to tell people what how that meant to me, we really are so thankful for them. When I thought that by sharing my story, this I came full circle and the circle is closed, that's it. Well, God had another thing for me. He said, well, one little thing you need to do before this circle comes to a close. In July of this year, God allowed me the opportunity to go to the Philippines and give out shoeboxes to the children. So I remember there was a little guy who was about 5 years old when I gave him this shoebox, and I extended my hand to him, and he looked at my eyes, and I looked at his eyes. Giving him the shoebox, all I'm thinking in my mind is my circle is coming to a close when his is starting. Right, mine is closing, but his is starting. But that would not have been possible that someone who has placed that shoebox in my hand and turned giving it to him when his circle is gonna start. I didn't know his story. I didn't know the kind of impact. But all I know is I was praying in my heart that God, just as you were faithful in my life, one time as you used this ministry to bless me, I pray that you would show your provision, your protection, and your plan to this little kid, whatever his future might be. So I hope this encourages you today, just to know that you are playing a part in our stories, really. I would not be here without someone playing that part in my story. So thank you so much for all the work that you do on making our stories possible. We appreciate you and we love you, and may God bless you.
Children for a picture.